morning, not too extremely early, but we're going to head up to Maine, and they pretty much have filled up just about every day of that week that I'm there with preaching and teaching and stuff like that. So it's a privilege. Monday I'll be teaching some young men about the ministry. They're interested in what ministry is all about, so we'll be teaching them. And then Brother Artie Dean's having me in a couple of times and such. And so it's a blessing to be used of the Lord. And it never stopped. You know, I thought, man, when I got in that accident, if everything flashed in front of my eyes just very quickly. I didn't know the extent of everything. I jumped out of that car and I was just like, okay, I'm alive, I'm all right. I got over to the other lady and I wanted to make sure she was all right. She ended up being 91 years old and nothing happened to her. Nothing hardly happened to her car. She ended up driving away. She hit a deer and then I hit her. And she still drove her car away. And they end up totaling ours. But I thank God that I'm the one who got that impact and not her.
Yeah, amen.
It might have killed her if she would have got that impact, or I think God had his hand around her or whatever. So I walked over to her in the middle of it all and I just said, are you okay? She said, yes. She goes, but it doesn't look like your wrist is okay. I said, I'm fine. I'm worried about you. And that was my concern, was her health. And so, but it never stopped. A day and a half later, we're on our way to North Carolina to go down and preach, and it still hasn't stopped, and we're going to get down there. And God has just given grace in this whole thing. He's given me and my family so much. And tonight, I want to talk a little bit about Thanksgiving. If you haven't realized how much you have to be thankful for, here's what we do, Pastor. We focus on the negative. And by focusing on the negative, we forget about every good thing God has done for us throughout the year.
Amen.
Because all we have in our head is the negative stuff that has happened to us. Whether it be physically, emotionally, whatever it is, we have a tendency to forget about the things that God has done for us. And we also forget that it's His purpose. Our life is no longer for our purpose. It's for His purpose, and whatever comes along our way, there's going to be a way that God can use that. And I tell you, with that accident, God sure got my attention on some things. It woke me up. It woke me up to some things. And so now every morning I'm just getting up and I'm thanking Him and I'm praising Him for new chances in life and seeing things and hearing things, and things are just different. You know what? That's all going to come to an end. The chastisement may come back. I may step out of line. Some troubles may come. But you know what? Right now I'm rejoicing. You know, I'm thanking God every morning for what He's given me and what He's done in my life. And so I want to spend a few minutes on what, you know, praise. Thanksgiving. And here's what we must understand. Praise differs from thanksgiving in your Bible. Praise is something we give to God for who He is. Thanksgiving is what we give to God for what He's done for us.
Amen.
Okay? Those are very distinct in your Bible. And not in every aspect, but just about every single time, they're distinctly different, because we give praise to God for being holy, for being the Father, for God, Jesus Christ being the Savior. And they deserve the praise. And then there's thanksgiving for what they've done in our life. Maybe what they've taken out of our life, or what they've allowed to happen, what they've put in our life. And so we have to understand that there's a distinction in your Bible. They're even spelled differently.
Amen.
I know sometimes that takes a minute to get across a bit, but it's a reality, okay? And so you have to read in context of what's going on there, and you'll be able to tell that distinct difference. And so I just thought, man, you know, I was driving, Pastor called, said, where are you going to be tonight? So we'll be at Black Creek. He says, you have the pulpit. I had nothing. I was like, okay, Lord, what can we talk about here tonight? A simple lesson on Thanksgiving.
Amen.
I took that to heart, Pastor, when you said, teach a simple lesson when you have nothing.
Yeah, amen.
And you know what? I did that down in North Carolina, and I think that message went over very well. You know, I just got up there and I taught.
Amen.
God allowed me to teach that. I'm trying to learn how to teach. It's not always about me. You know, I get worked up. Well, I get hyped up, man. I'm excited about the things in Jesus. I get excited about preaching, and so I get hyped up. Now I'm trying, you know, I want to tone it down a little bit, Tim. Imagine that. I want to tone it down. You know why? Because I want to know how to teach. I asked God to give me that. Lord, would you teach me how to teach? To get up here from the pulpit and teach. Now, if I get excited, it's because it's preaching. But look, I want to teach, okay? No matter what you're facing here today, you have to understand this. No matter what you're facing here today, no matter how hopeless the situation looks in all things, God is in control. We have a tendency to lose sight of what God is in control of everything. I know people, when they heard that Biden was going to be president, man, they lost their mind. Christians lost their mind with them. Why? Because we as Christians, we have forgotten that God is in control. We live like the President of the United States is in control of everything. That's how and people are looking at Christians like, what happened to this faith that you're supposed to have? What happened to believing that God was in full control and he allowed this to happen? Just in case anybody didn't know, this was not pulled over God. The wool was not pulled over God's eyes when this happened. He allowed everything that goes on to go on. And so we ought to be thankful, because there are things in our lives, no matter how hard they are, no matter how hopeless they look, God has allowed them to come into our lives. But we get lost in the negativity of the whole thing. We don't look at the big picture. We don't look back and say, now I see why God did this. Now I see why he had his hand in this. And so if you would turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, that's where we're going to start. Why? Because no situation is hopeless if you had God. If you're lost here, yeah, help. Can you help him find 1 Thessalonians 5:18? Hey, there's no situation hopeless. You know why? Because God still has breath for eternity. He'll always have breath. He'll never stop. And if you have breath, you have hope. Okay? Here's what I want to say before I get into this. There are times that when we've heard verses over and over again and we know them, we have a tendency to allow them to have a less effect on our life. Somebody can get up here and preach or say a verse and we go, I know that. You just went and you took the power away from that. You just blocked that from working in your life. Why? Because you've heard it, because you know it. You know, I don't care how many verses you know. If you can't live them, it's worthless in your life.
Amen.
And when you hear a verse and it's repeated, it's okay. Because you know why? That King James Bible is in heaven for eternity. Right. You're going to hear it for eternity.
How about that?
And guess what? It's going to have an effect on you right there too. So go ahead, when you hear somebody preach a verse that you may have heard several hundred times, you better be aware, because God may be telling you something through there, but because you heard it and you know it, you may shut it off. You're in danger. You're in danger of taking that word of God and making it have no effect in your own life. Be careful of that. I was down in North Carolina and trying to get a hold of God. I was laying on my face before God with my Bible. I said, Lord, I need your help. And I mean, I was in turmoil. I was in agony. I said, I need your help, Lord. And the little voice came to me and said, listen to that still, small voice. And I got up off the floor and I knew exactly what I was doing wrong. I knew exactly what I was missing. I'd shut off listening to that still, small voice. I'm telling you, do the same thing when you hear a word being preached and you hear a verse. You'll shut it right off. Mm-hmm. And God will tell you right now, I've got to be upset with that. Look what it says here in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It's going to be hard for me to turn, but I will turn. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in some things give thanks. I know there's people in here who are going through things and who have been through things. And I'm telling you right now, the last thing you ever want to do in your entire life is to give thanks for what you're going through. But I'm going to tell you right now, show me where God says, well, if everything's going right, you give thanks. Show me where he gives us the option, Kyle, that if everything's going your way, then you can give thanks. Or if everything's fitting your lifestyle. You see, we like to take verses, and as long as they're going to fit our lifestyle, and as long as they're going to fit our thinking, we'll go ahead and do those things. But the very moment that it starts stepping on our toes, out the door they go. He says, give thanks in everything. In everything give thanks. Why? For this might be the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. No, this is. That is a definite thing. Whatever you're going through in your life, whatever you're facing tonight, whatever decisions in your heart, whatever it is, he says, give thanks for it, because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Hey, you should be thankful that God's even considered you. You know he's considered you enough to be sitting in this church tonight?
Amen.
My goodness, did you think? Hey, how many of you came to church prepared to hear what God might have to say? How many? Honest to good. How many prayed today thinking, hey, how many said, well, you know, tonight's Wednesday. Maybe I ought to prepare my heart to go hear the word of God. You know what? You just treat that like another book. You go read that Bible, and anytime anybody heard the word of God, they had to have a preparation of their heart. You come in here, and you didn't even ask God to forgive you for anything you may have said or done out of the side of your mouth, and you expect God to talk to you here? That's how we treat the Holy Bible. Oh, we reverence it so much that we never prepare our hearts for it, Stephen. We just handle it like some flippant thing. It's just Wednesday, that's all. Since when? You know why? Because we've become unthankful for what God has given. We've become unthankful for a Wednesday night service. We've become unthankful that no matter who's teaching or who's preaching, we've become unthankful for the Word of God.
Right.
And we're Christians.
Right.
We're Christians. But he says, in everything give thanks. Why? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. There's nothing that takes God by surprise. There's nothing that takes him by chance in our lives. That night that happened in the car accident, I was coming home. The Lord stepped in that, Pastor. He stepped in that jail message. And those guys were touched. And the Holy Ghost moved in that place. I mean, the counselor and everybody were in complete tears. And I knew God had stepped in, brother. And I was all the way home rejoicing. I get less than a mile from my house and bang, everything falls apart. After I got out of that car and I got my senses back to myself after that thing hit me in the face at 200 miles an hour. I ain't been hit like that in a while. You know, I called my wife, and after I hung up, she was upset. I said, honey, I'm all right. There's no problem. I said, I'm okay. Just we got the cops, you know, the ambulance and stuff are coming. You know, I said, thank you, Lord. I praise your name for that service tonight. I said, if I have to get in a car accident every single time for you to get in that jail, then I'll do it.
Amen.
Amen.
I'll do it again. I'll break my other wrist. I'll break my kneecap. Whatever. If God's going to get into, look, it's important for God to get in those jails. It's important for him to show up in those places. I prepare my heart to go in there for God to show up and help deal with these men. Then the Lord put on my heart, you're still going to North Carolina. I'm not even kidding you. I told my wife when we were standing on the side of the road, I said, by the way, we're still going to North Carolina.
Amen.
God just put it on my heart. I knew immediately. Why? Because God has a plan. Mm-hmm. And just because something may come along in our life doesn't mean that we should deviate from that plan. If God wanted me not to go to North Carolina, if God didn't want me to go to that jail, if he wasn't going to get in that preaching, then maybe none of this would have happened. But God, in his mercy, knew what it was going to take to get my attention. And he was willing. He was looking at me. You know, Judges chapter 5, I think it was Judges chapter 5, verse 2. It says that God avenged Israel. Why did he avenge Israel? When they became willing to give themselves up to him. Are you willing to give up yourself for God?
Come on.
And God will avenge you in all things.
Amen.
Whether you like the outcome or not, you see, we pray to God wanting our outcome. But if I read my Bible correctly, Stephen, it says, thy will be done, not my will be done. Thank God it's not my will being done, because my will be done, it turns out to be a bad thing. So let me just say this. We have things tonight to be thankful for in this church. But I'm going to say one thing. The way I look at people's faces, I don't see much thanksgiving on anybody's faces. It's a hard thing to look out into a church, the church pews, and say, well, man, that person doesn't look very thankful. But here we just learned, Joshua says, give thanks in all things.
Amen.
This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Well, I know it's easier said than lived at times, but God doesn't give us the option. It's so much easier to sit there, Nate, you're going through something hard. Hey, you know, this verse here, you want to punch me in the face because I sent you that verse. I understand that. But let me just tell you this. God didn't say you have an option, okay? Dale, I want you to honor your mother only if she treats you right. I want you to love your neighbor as yourself only if they treat you like you want to be treated.
Uh-huh.
You see? when it fits our little religion that we build. We build our own religion. You do know that, right? We take those verses and we say, yeah, I believe that. Yeah, man, that's 100% right. And then we live it
10%.
Mm. Oh, but that one there. Yeah, that's 100%. You know, that person does this. I don't do that. You see, we build our own religions because we take those verses that fit our lifestyle.
That's right.
And we implement them in our life. But the ones we think belongs to charity, I won't live that. She has to.
All right.
We should be thankful for the word. We should be thankful for this Bible that God has put in our hands. There was a story I read, and I can't remember where it was, about Eli. He dies. Anyway, he's sitting there, and they ran in the room, and they said, the ark of God has been taken. And Eli falls over and dies.
Yep.
Why? Because the ark of God was everything. That was everything to him. Amen. It was his way to God. It was, I mean, it meant the entire word to him. I mean, his whole entire world was built around that ark. And he said, the glory's gone. And then his daughter-in-law, her husband dies. She loses her husband. She's getting ready to have the baby. And it says that she had the baby and said not a word. Why? Because she heard that the ark of God was taken. And she was stunned by that. And she had a baby and she called him Ichabod. The glory of the Lord has left Israel. Do you know what she thought about John Mark? Not her husband dying. Not her father-in-law dying. Not her having the baby. She was worried about the ark of God being taken. The Bible slowly being taken out of your life as we sit here tonight. It's not even bothering you. And you're the one letting it happen. Everything, Tim. That Bible, look at, the Bible is our ark today.
Right.
God has given us a way to get to him. He's given us a way to learn of him. He's given us a way to live our life. And yet we just take it and we just flippantly do whatever we want to do with it. We don't take it serious. We just go ahead and try to rearrange it to fit our lifestyle. Let me ask you, when's the last time you thanked God for his word?
Come on.
I kid you not, and I mess up and I forget about it, but every single morning I get up and I say, Lord, thank you for your word before I even open it.
Amen.
That's a wonderful thing.
Good. Amen.
If it hasn't done nothing for your life, it's because you don't believe it. It's because you're trying to twist it into a religion and trying to twist it into what you believe God wants you to have. You see, we get this thing in our heart that we are going to build this thing. We're going to build this God to fit our lifestyle. God's trying to fit you to live his lifestyle. Are we thankful for the word of God today? Amen. We may not have it much longer.
Right.
We may not. I don't know. God knows. But let me tell you this. If tomorrow you were to end up in a concentration camp, would you have enough Bible in you to be able to preach to somebody?
Come on.
Ladies, that includes you too, because you'll be in a woman's concentration camp without your husband or whoever. And the Bible means so much to us that you got up this morning and thanked God for what he's showing you in the Bible, didn't you, John Mark? Didn't you? That's what we do. Look at when Abraham was told to sacrifice his only son, who was to become a great nation of Israel, all looked hopeless. Abraham believed God and he delivered him. Joseph, when God showed him things that were going to come, he was hated by his brothers and sold into slavery and wrongly accused and thrown into prison and forgotten about, but not of God. You understand? There are things in your life that you're going to go through. There are hard times. There are trying times. There are things in your life you're going to go, why? How did I get here? Could you imagine Joseph? God showed him all those things as a young boy, and then he ends up in prison and forgotten about. But never once in the Bible do you ever see Joseph question God, ever. Because Joseph understood perfectly God had a purpose for his life, and he was thankful for everything that came along. And you know what? God had a plan. And at the very end, Joseph said, what everybody thought for evil, God meant for good. Amen. Whatever's going on in your life, be thankful, because what you call evil, God calls good. We have a different level. We have a different way of looking at things than God. God doesn't look at things our way. He doesn't see things. He doesn't think like we think. Bob, if God ever thought like me, this world would be destroyed. If God did things my way, this world would be destroyed. You go, well, how do you know that? Just take a look at my family when I'm doing things that ain't right. Imagine what this world would be like. Joseph was not forgotten about God. God was in control of the whole situation, and Joseph never complained or wavered, and he knew that God would save his family just like he showed him he would. You see, there are promises in this Bible that we can stand on. And we ought to thank God for these promises that we can stand on. Like Joseph, he stood on the promises that God, no matter what he went through, the beatings, being sold, I mean, everything that he went through, he understood that God was in control of it, Tim, and that everything was going to work out just like God wanted it to. But we don't live our lives that way. You know, I think a lot of the problem is we forget to be thankful. You go, man, but you know what? I'm having a hard time. I'm struggling. You know, with salvation, I'm struggling. Be thankful. Because there are many people in church tonight who don't even know they're lost, and they're going to bust hell wide open. Be thankful that God has shown you that you're lost. Why? Because he can deal with you. There are many who are sitting in church tonight who are going to bust hell wide open who don't believe they're lost. They don't understand their lost state.
Right.
You have much to be thankful for, lost person. Why? Because God is dealing with you. He hasn't pulled his hand off of you yet. I know it feels like it at times, but he hasn't. When it all looks hopeless for Moses to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt, the God of hope was in complete control and delivered them. Job, a man the Bible says was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And when it all fell apart, he lost everything. Oh, could you imagine being a Job and losing everything? Look what he says. Turn with me to Job. Job chapter 1. Look at Job chapter 1. Turn with me there. I want you to see what Job said. I mean, the east wind came in. I mean, everything is gone. The only thing he had left is his wife. God left his wife, therefore. Why? Because God was going to use Job's wife in a way. I'm not going to get into it. But look at Job chapter 1. Look at Job chapter 1. After Job loses everything, and here he is in verses 20 and 22, and it says this. Then Job arose, and he rent his mantle, and shaved his head, and he fell down upon the ground, and he what? Worshipped. He came to God, and he understood exactly that, look at God, you gave me everything. He knows that God gave him everything. He knows where he stands with God. When he lost everything, Nate, he understood where he stood with God. He was able to do what he's about to do. Look what it says. That he fell to the ground and he worshiped. Verse 21. And he said, naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let me tell you, when you're going through something, are you blessing God? Now, he's the very first one we blame. He's the very first. You ever notice how quick it is? How quick we are to become bitter for God for something that happens in our lives? We may not outwardly say it, but our hearts surely say it loud enough. Okay? Why? Because that's the very first thing we turn to. God, why did you allow this to happen in my life? We, as lost people, and we as saved people, will go around and say, God, how dare you? Why are you doing this to me? Who gave us the right to ever question anything that God does or does not do?
Come on.
But yet, that's how we live our lives.
Yep.
And not for one second does God ever have to bow down to answer us. Ever. Job said, blessed. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all this, look at it says, Job sinned not. What else didn't he do? Nor charged God foolishly.
Yeah, come on.
I'm just telling you, the very first thing we do, God put that in there because God knows that when things go wrong in our life, the very first person that gets to blame is God. God, why did you allow my car to blow up? Why did you allow me to wreck my car? Why did you allow this to happen in my life? Why did you allow that to happen in my life? Instead of saying, you know what, Lord, thank you, because this is your will for my life right now.
Amen.
Isn't that what 1 Thessalonians 5:18 said? But this is the will of God concerning Christ Jesus, concerning you in Christ Jesus?
Amen.
How thankful are we? I believe, Nick, if we get rid of some of that negativity, we start putting those negative things that have happened to us and start thinking about the good things that God has given us. Start small. Start with the shoes you have on your feet, the food that you have on your plate. How about the one sitting next to you that you can grab their hand and hold? You have loved ones. You have children. We have a church that preaches the word of God. We have a church where each other, we love one another. But how? When's the last time you said, Lord, I thank you so much for Black Creek Baptist Church. Thank you for what you've done in my life since I've been in here. How many of you have done that?
Well,
we're thankful, Brother Ronnie. We're so thankful that we forget to say it. Oh, Lord, God must just know our heart that we just really are saying thanks in our heart. Can I just share with you Hebrews 13:15? Let me just share Hebrews 13:15 with you on that line. Look what it says here, Hebrews 13:15. Tim, want to read that out loud real quick? Hebrews 13:15. Look what it says.
By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name.
By him, Jesus Christ. By Jesus Christ. Therefore, let us offer the what? Sacrifice of praise. That means it's something that we're willing to give up. That means there's going to be times in our life where it's going to be a sacrifice for us to praise God. Why? Because it's going to be hard. It's going to be grueling. It's going to be things that we're challenged with, things that we're faced with, things that seem impossible and hopeless. But you have to understand, you have a God that is the God of the hopeless.
Amen.
We live like he's a God who's powerless. Can he or can he not sustain you through whatever you're going through? And he says, by the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And I'm going to tell you what a holy name. Go start reading Psalm chapter 148 through 150 and praise his name every day. Praise him in the heavens. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him. You know why? Because he says, as the winds blow and the waves roll, it's because he spoke them and they exist. Praise him. Give him the glory where glory is due. Thank him for your life. Thank him for what he's done in your life. We've become an unthankful nation. We're going to celebrate Thanksgiving next week. Only thing we're thankful for is what we've done ourselves.
Uh-oh.
That's what we celebrate Thanksgiving for, what we've done. Shame on us as people. Shame on us as Christians. It's a shame, brother. That's what we've become. We're almost done here. Hang in there. Put your seatbelt on. It takes a preparation of the heart to be thankful in all things. Ephesians chapter 5 verses 19 and 20 says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You understand? He's telling you need to start singing to the Lord. Why? Because it prepares your heart for praise.
Amen.
You just try to go praise to God and guess what? Your heart's hard. You got to force it out, Lord. I don't really mean this in my heart. Go listen to some music. Sing some melody. Pick up a hymn book. Open it up and sing some songs to the Lord. And then you'll be able to praise him. Why? He'll soften that heart up while you're doing it. He'll soften that heart up while you're doing it. And then you know what? You won't have to pretend to be praising.
Yeah.
Well, there's times I do. Lord, I go, you know what, Lord? I'm not meaning this, but by the time I'm done, I want to mean it. I want this to be real, man. I want to praise you, man, from the inside out. I want to praise you with my lips because it's coming from my heart.
Amen.
Just saying. He says, we're going to finish that verse there, and he says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Not to yourself, not to your children, not to your people around you, but to the Lord. Why? Giving thanks always for all things. How many things? Giving thanks for all things.
Amen.
Unto who? God and the Father. Oh, I love how he breaks that up in the New Testament. Six times he's showing us a difference. God and the Father. And then it says Jesus Christ at the end. So you know what that means? That means we give praise and thanks to God. God the Father. Jesus. That's something? You know he breaks that down, Tim? Go study it out. Go study out God and the Father. It's in your New Testament six times. I think you'll love that study. I'm just telling anybody who wants to. He said, for all things unto God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, give thanks for all things. Why? Because he's in control of all things. Colossians chapter 3 verses 15 through 17 says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye are also called in one body. And be ye thankful. Be thankful as a body. We ought to be thankful as saved people or lost people that are searching. We ought to be thankful as one body, but you know what? We are not. Churches today, traveling around, I look at them, I go, man, they don't act like a functioning body whatsoever. There is no thankfulness between them whatsoever. It's, you know what it is? Each pew for themselves. Each family for themselves. That's the way churches become today. Thankful. Y'all want to thank God for Miss Sharon and John for opening up their house all the time to people. You know, we want to thank God for Chelsea playing piano. There's many things we can be thankful for in the body. Miss Gracie Ford playing piano and the things that she does. There's many things. But do we? When's the last time you thanked somebody for somebody in your church?
Come on.
When's the last time, ready? Did you thank God for the man of God? Let me ask you this. Here's a big challenge. When's the last time you fasted for your own pastor? What a shame. We're pathetic as Christians, Stephen. Because God tells us to do these things, and how many of us are doing it? This is a direct commandment from God to do these things. You know, the Bible says that we're to pray for the man of God. We're to pray for our preacher. And you know what else I can show you in fasting? Well, we're to fast for the man of God. Fast for that one who's in charge of our souls. Fast for that one who's to teach us those things. But how many of us are fasting for our own pastor? Let me ask you this. How many are praying for the next pastor to come after
him? Come on. That's a little important.
You ask my wife, for probably 2 years now, I've been praying for our pastor for when Pastor Haynes gone.
You better believe it.
How many of you are doing it? Here's why I do it, Bob. Because I'm thankful. I'm thankful that God sent a man our way to love us and to preach the word of God without any. He did not care what people thought or said. He was going to come and preach the word of God to us regardless, and he loved us. And you know what? I'm thankful that somebody loved me to that point. I'm thankful that God sent a man that I would listen to. I'm thankful. You know why, Tim? Because I was crying not too many months ago. My pastor called me up and he told me to do some things. And I just hung up that phone and I started crying. I said, my God, for the first time in my life, I'm able to be told what to do. I'm thankful. Aren't we thankful for those things that God has changed in your life? Or we just flippantly blow them off like God had to do that for me?
Uh-oh.
God had to send that pastor my way. God had to do it. Oh. Do you know where you could be sitting tonight? Hell is hot and eternity is long. But God in his mercy, and we become unthankful people. You know what it says? Then when we become unthankful people, our foolish hearts are darkened. I'm almost done.
Uh-oh.
Be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell in you, richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in what? Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye ever do in word or deed, do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the next time you get angry at somebody, do it in the name of Jesus. The next time you feel like you've got some jealousy in your heart, do it in the name of Jesus. The next time you want to cuss somebody out, do it in the name of Jesus. He just told you to do it. Why won't you? Then maybe you ought to not do those things. If you can't do it in the name of Jesus, then maybe you just may not want to do it. That TV show you're listening to, or that radio you might be listening to, go ahead and do it in the name of Jesus. And if you can't, then you probably shouldn't be doing it. You go, Dale, how do you judge things in your life? Because if I can't do it in Jesus' name, then I shouldn't be doing it. Aren't we thankful that God has given us the Word of God to be able to judge ourselves? Am I the only one that judges myself? Come on. God has given us this book to look at ourselves, to teach us these things, Josh. I know. Not maybe. You go, how is this thankfulness? Because you know why? God in his mercy has given us a book. He's given us a preacher. He's given us a church. He's given us a church family. He's given us a life.
Amen.
I know I'm thankful. I know Brother Ronnie, a few years ago, you would have been dead had not the man answered one email.
That's right. Sure.
How thankful.
That's right.
How thankful. How thankful, Charity, when you share your testimony about what God has done to your for your family. Chelsea, hey, hard times, man. You guys are getting run through it. But how thankful. Have you thanked God for those things you've been through? Because one day, God's going to use what you go through to help somebody else.
Amen.
As painful and as wretched and as horrible as we may look at it, there is a purpose. God has a purpose. Now, either we believe he's in full control and that he knows all things, or we just throw him to the side and blame him and become bitter towards him. And I'm almost done. I got two more minutes. And look what it says. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it in the name of Jesus, giving thanks. To who? God and the Father by him, by Jesus. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything. How many things? And everything by prayer and supplication. That means you got prayers that you just go ahead and give up, but then they're supplicating. When is the last time you beg God for anything that's going on in your life? We're too busy praying. Supplicating is begging God, getting his attention. But you know what? If you have something in your life that's being stubborn, Jesus uses a four-letter word in the Bible called fasting. That's foreign to Baptists. Baptists used to fast at some point when they wanted to get a hold of God, but how many are fasting today? I know this, Josh. You got something pressing in your life that you don't seem like you can get a hold of God? He says, somebody's going to come out by prayer and fasting. You need to pray and fast. That means you can go ahead and just give up some meals that won't hurt you. You know, God takes fasting very serious. If you don't believe me, go ahead and read the rebuke in Isaiah chapter 58. He'll show you the difference between your fast and what he calls a fast. Because when you do a fast, it's gonna when you do a fast that God sets apart, it's gonna hurt. It's gonna hurt. It ain't gonna feel good. But you know what you're showing God? You're willing to be humble and put yourself out there because you need his attention on this matter. Now you mean to tell me there's nobody in this room that has a matter that needs attention that bad for God? We ought to be thankful that, you know why we ought to be thankful for that? Because God has given us a way to get his attention. Oh, why would we? Let's just pray. Forget about the fasting. We'll get a hold of God just by praying. That's what it says. And everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. When's the last time your prayer life has included thanksgiving in it? You should never be able to say your prayer without something to be thankful for, ever, ever, ever. If you have, then you're unthankful and your heart, foolish heart is darkened. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. What is the effect of this if you do this? It says in verse 7, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Don't you want that peace that passes all understanding?
Mm-hmm.
Then you better be praying with thanksgiving. You better be supplicating with thanksgiving. You better be thankful to God. You better be thankful for what he's done in your life and what he's going to do in your life. And you know what it does? It holds your mind. It gives you peace about who he is. You start reading about the praise. Go look up praise ye. I'm not going to tell you how many times it's in there. You go look up praise ye. And I want you to look it up, New and Old Testament. I'm telling you, man, you read those. And if that don't light you up, there's something broke with your praise ye. Okay? There's something broke with your heart, man. I'm just saying. Because it just tells you, it shows you who he is. And I'm telling you, I've been missing it for quite a few years now. Because I've just never took the time to look at that and go, my goodness, Lord, I've missed it. I've missed it for all these 11 years. I forgot to praise you for who you are. I forgot to give you the praise for who you are and what you've done. I forgot to thank you, Lord. I've become unthankful in my heart. He says he'll give us the peace. And I'm closing with this. Psalm 37, verses 3 through 8 says this. Trust in the Lord and do good. I want you to listen to these words. These key words are going to tell you to do things. Trust in the Lord and do good. You know why you're not doing good? Because you don't trust the Lord. Okay? Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land and verily shall be fed. If you'll trust the Lord and do good, he says he'll take care of you. He'll feed you. You'll do good. Verse 4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord. Let him become your everything. You know, my prayer has been lately, Lord, let me be like John and lay on your breast. Lord, I need to hear your heart beating. I want to delight in the things of God. I want to delight in the things of the Lord. I want to delight in the things of Jesus Christ. I want those things. I want to be able to hear it and lay at his feet and kiss his feet. Yeah. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. And that's the clean heart, not the old filthy, defiled heart. Thank God he don't give me the desires of my filthy heart. What a filth bag. You know what he gives me? The desires, those good, clean things.
Yeah. Amen.
Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Commit thy way unto the Lord. That's so hard for Baptists to do, is to give up their ways, to commit their will to them. He says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also ye in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as noonday. And verse 7 says, rest. Rest. Leave it all to Jesus. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself. That word fret means don't be troubled. Don't be disturbed. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in the way. Because the man that bringeth to pass. Don't fret yourself. Don't get troubled by what's going on here in the land. God knows. In verse 8, and we're closing, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. My friends, I'm asking you this. Please consider, start being thankful to God. Find something every single day to be thankful for God for in your life and those things he's going to bring about in your life.
Amen.
Neil?